Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. Hello and welcome to the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, and in this week's episode, I am talking about describing the meaning of love to your children. And I want to explain what I mean by that. But first, if you haven't yet, remember to subscribe to the show. If when you get subscribed, you will get notified when an episode comes out so you don't miss out on any of these wonderful episodes that I have. If you've not yet left a review, please do. I do appreciate those reviews to know if I'm doing a good enough job for my listeners. And if you feel like I'm not doing a good enough job, please send me an email about it and let me know. You can email me at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com. And finally, if you got a friend who thinks we'll get something out of this, please share this with a friend because we're all looking for information out there. And maybe you got a friend who's looking for something about today's episode. So what do I mean about today's episode? What am I talking about the definition of love? Well, as most of you know, I'm a pediatrician, and these last few years have been rough in the pediatric world. I know it's been rough for everybody, but we've been seeing a lot of kids coming in with major mental health, anxiety, depression issues, and this week, sadly, has been no different for me, and I'm going to talk about a patient. I'm not going to give out a lot of their information because of HIPAA reasons, obviously, but recently, and I'm not going to say when, I had a teenage patient come into the office, and it was a boy, and it's one that I'd follow with for a while, and he's had some health issues for some other various reasons, and he's never really truly opened up to me, never just wanted to talk to me about life, and I've been waiting for this. Like, this was like the fourth or fifth visit with this kid that I'm like, I really want to figure out what the heck is going on with this kid. Well, when my nurse came out of the room, she said, hey, so-and-so really wants to talk to you in the room without mom in there. And I just thought to myself, thank God, finally, maybe we're going to figure out what's going on. So, you know, we do the normal history physical exam with mom in the room and say, hey, we're going to talk. You know, it might take some time. Do you mind if you go wait in the waiting room? Mom was like, sure, that's fine, because she's super chill. Well, super chill to me in those 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes that I see her in the room. Who knows what it's like at home? But for me as the doctor, that's what I see. So mom leaves the room and I say, hey, yeah, I heard you want to talk to me. What's going on? And finally, this kid just opened up. Well, opened up enough, more than he ever has with me before. And his opening sentence to me was, Dr. Toffel, I don't know how to love. I don't know if I'm capable of loving someone. Well, that's not totally medical when it comes to, you know, you think about, okay, we're going to talk about, you know, his eating habits, or we're going to talk about substance abuse, or maybe we're going to talk about, you know, stress at school, stress at home, things like that. But the first thing, the first concern this patient had was, I don't know how to love. And it stopped me for a second. And so I had to ask, I said, what do you mean by that? What is love to you? And he said, I don't know. And he went through some scenarios. And it was having a relationship with a girl. You know, is it love after you have sex for the first time? What is love at home? He said, I don't know if I'd love my family. I don't know if I love the people I'm with. I think I love my brother. I don't know. I don't know if I love my mom. I don't know if she loves me. And we went down this rabbit hole of talking about, well, what is love and how do we know what love is? And it got me thinking, like, wow, this is such a deep conversation. And to be honest, I feel like as a pediatrician, shouldn't be my job to talk to this kid about what love is. This should be up to his parents. And not just talking about it, but showing it, right? And so I'm thinking this whole time I'm talking with him, and I'm like, man, am I doing a good enough job at home to explain to my kids what is love? And I try to think back while I'm talking with this patient about this, because when you start going down that rabbit hole, you know, we've talked about toxic stress on this show before. It was a while back. We've talked about that topic. And if you don't know, just go in and search the podcast and search for the term toxic stress. You're going to find it. But we talk about how those things can really negatively affect somebody. This patient was a teenager, middle of high school, we'll say. Well, when we talk about home life for him, it wasn't a great home life. One parent was in prison and had just recently gotten out. Other parent probably super busy trying to take care of everyone else. They don't have a lot of time to show physical and emotional love. Maybe their love is through making sure there's food on the table, making sure there's, you know, a roof over their heads, and making sure that the kids are safe. That's a form of love, right? And sometimes that's all we can give in some cases. And some of these parents, that's all they can give. And kids don't always recognize that. And when I looked at and talked with this patient more about all of his other health issues, it was really easy to go back and say, wow, so much of what you've struggled with your life is stemming from this concept of not understanding what love is. And the fact that there's different types of love. And so we talked about that. We talked about what are the different types of love. And you might be saying, what do you mean? What are the different types of love? Love is love, right? Well, we love our spouse in a different way than we love our children. You know, with our spouse is a different kind of love. It's not totally different. It's not polar opposite different, but it's a different type of love than with our children. You know, you may love your friends in a way. You may love your coworkers in a way. You may love the patients that you take care of in a way. But that's a different love than other forms of love that you see. And so when someone says, I don't know what love is, you can't just explain it to them. You can't just say, definition of love is this, right? Because love is so different for all of us. Love is different based on what we feel like love needs to be. Really, you know, what is love to you and your spouse is different than what love is for me and my spouse, right? What do we expect out of that love, out of that relationship? What does it mean to love each other? And we all have different expectations of what that means. Well, the definition of that love, though, came from your life experiences. What did you experience growing up? What did you experience in past relationships that you didn't have? What led to you to where you are today, right? You know, when we talk about other topics involving do people like you, do people find you interesting, that kind of stuff, I've always talked about on the show, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with you, right? If someone likes you or finds you interesting, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with them because their likes and their interests are totally reliant on their past histories and their desires and their wants. It has nothing to do with you. So you can't influence them to like you, right? Well, it's the same thing with love. You may have a definition of love, but somebody else has a totally different definition of it, and you guys just don't mesh well because of that. And that's where you go through your past relationships, right? And these type of topics, I think, aren't always easy to explain to our kids. It's not always easy to describe to our kids what love is. You know, it's not uncommon for one of our kids to get in trouble. Sadly. That's parent life, right? They all get in trouble at times. But You know, stop me if you've heard this. Your kid gets in trouble and they say, well, I don't love you anymore. Or, I thought you loved me. Why are you mad at me? You can't love me if you're mad at me. And we've heard those comments from our kids, and usually it's when they're younger, but even the older kids can say that sometimes. Like, you say you love me, but you don't let me do these things. And kids have a hard time understanding that type of love. You know, as a parent, their parental love is not, I love you so I'm going to let you do everything, or I love you so you can get away with anything, or I love you so I'm never going to get upset with you, right? That's not parent love. Parent love is, I love you so much, I'm going to do what I can to make sure you grow up to be a good person, or I'm going to make sure to keep you safe, or I'm going to make sure that you excel at all the things that I know you can excel at, but hopefully not stress you out along the way. In my mind, that's parental love. Now, I'm sitting here saying this is parental love. Well, of course, that's my definition. That might not be your definition. But when I look at parental love and what is it, you know, I always go back to the Bible. I've said on the show, I'm a Christian. I was raised a Christian. that's where my roots are. That's where my beliefs come from. And so when I talk about these concepts of love, I always kind of look back at that because that's a part of me and who I am. Now, if you're out there and a Christian and you're listening, you probably understand the things I'm going to talk about here. If you're not a Christian, totally fine. You know, none of the concepts I'm going to say here is new and different and, you know, awe-inspiring, but maybe it'll kind of mesh with something that you've learned or heard in the past. And if so, great. If not, maybe you learned something, or maybe you say, this is ridiculous. Why are you talking about this? That's totally possible. But I can't help but look at that, because when you look at how we nowadays define God's love for us, it's very much a parental love. Now, maybe that's because that's the only way we can understand it right now with our feeble human minds, but it's very much parental love, right? God loves you, but he's not going to always like you. Just like being a parent. I'm always going to love my kids, but I'm not always going to like what they're doing, what they're saying, and how they're acting. And that's the same concept with God, right? God loves us, but doesn't always like what we're doing. And thus, sometimes not great things will happen to, it seems like, make a point. And there's examples of this throughout the Bible. And it was actually really interesting this week on Sunday at church. Our pastor's sermon talked about this a little bit when I was planning on talking about it. So that was kind of a cool, you know, coincidence, I guess, if you want to call it a coincidence. Maybe it's fate, maybe it's whatever. But it was just cool to hear how her sermon meshed with the thoughts I was having at that time about talking about love. And one of the comments, or not even comments, one of the stories she talked about, and one of the readings she brought out, was talking about when the Israelites had left Egypt and they were still going through, you know, the deserts and everything before they get to the promised land. And basically looking at the stories and seeing how there's two versions. There's one in Exodus and there's one in the book of Numbers. And most of us know the book of Exodus. You know, Moses takes the Israelites through these lands to find their promised land. And at some point they start starving. They start screaming out, Moses, why have you brought us along? We are so hungry. We have no food. The food is better back in Egypt. And why don't we have anything here? So Moses speaks to God, or God hears them. And the next day there is manna, which is the bread, not manna, like you're playing Dungeons and Dragons or whatever with magic, if you don't know that concept, sorry. But manna is a form of bread, and it falls all over the earth, and the people eat it. And in Exodus, the people are thankful. You know, water springs out of a rock. There are quail and birds and things for them to have meat, and the people eat, and they're happy again for a while, which no one's ever fully happy all the time, which sadly, that's life too. That's the book of Exodus. We hear that. We see a loving God, so a God that loves us and wants to care for us. But if you look at that story in the book of Numbers, the pastor points this out, it's not so much the same story. So same starting point, Israelites wandering through the wilderness away from Egypt, complaining that they're hungry, want to go back to Egypt because they had better food there. And God sends manna. Well, the Israelites get the manna, eat it, and say, oh, this is fine, but we really want some meat. Why don't we have any meat? We need meat. This is ridiculous. Like, why is God just sending bread? We need some meat. So God hears this and sends a whole bunch of quail. And they're talking about, like, from a mile one way to a mile another way, there's quail like 3 feet high. Like, there's a ton of quail. Well, should be enough meat for these people, right? So the Israelites start prepping their food and go to eat. And the Bible says before they took their first bite, they were hit with stomach pains and were hit with a great plague. And those who had those cravings, so basically those who were complaining about the gift of bread and wanting meat, perished. They died. And those people were buried and they moved on. Doesn't exactly sound like the same God we hear in Exodus, right? Exodus talks about a loving God who will give us these things, and in the book of Numbers talks about a different God. Well, what does that mean? Now, I've never been a literalist. I'm not a literalist when it comes to reading the Bible and those things, but I take those stories to heart and I try to learn from them. And what it shows is it says, listen, you can be two types of people. You can be a caring person and a loving person and provide for what your family needs. Or in God's case, provided for what the Israelites needed in that time. But sadly, sometimes people don't appreciate it. And just like me as a parent,
I can get pretty frustrated with my kids when they don't appreciate the little things we do for them and the things that we provide for them when they want more and they want more and they want more, right? You know, it could be at mealtimes, it could be at dinner, and it's, oh, this isn't enough, Daddy, I want something else. Or, you know, you go to the store and you let them get one small gift. Well, I want something bigger. Why can't I have something bigger? Or the holidays rolls around. Well, why didn't I get this big thing? Why didn't I get that thing? It's not easy to deal with that, let alone listen to it and be okay with it sometimes, right? You want people to appreciate the love that you're showing them. Now, am I going to, you know, give my kids rotten food or dead birds that are, you know, diseased so that they get sick and then they'll eat their actual dinner the next time? No, obviously not. But when you look at that story in Numbers, in my mind, the concept there is this: appreciate the love that you're being shown and understand that it's what you need, it's not what you want, which we talked about a few weeks ago, right? Needs versus wants. And so that is me taking what I learned on Sunday and applying it to what I want to talk about today. Because as parents, that's something we constantly do. You know, our love as a parent to our kids is not always giving our kids what they want, it's what they need, and helping them. And we may not always be happy and like what their kids do, but we love them still for it no matter what. And that concept of love is really important to explain to our children, if we can explain it to them, based on where they're at in terms of their mental abilities and understanding that. But above all else, it's important for our kids to know that they are loved and to know why we love them and how we show it to them and why that love might differ from what they see in a movie or in a TV show or read in a book. Because you'll see in those movies and TV shows and books, the love is perfect. Nothing's ever wrong. You get everything you want in the end. And that's just not always real life. Nor is that typical real love. Love is not easy. It's hard sometimes. But our kids don't always see that, and they expect it to be a certain way sometimes. So I think it's really important for us as parents to be that voice for them early on, and as they get older, to talk about that topic so they understand, what is the purpose of love? What does it mean to be in love with somebody? What is your love? Like, what's your definition of love? What does it mean to you to love somebody? I think it's important for us to have those conversations with our kids. Now, our boys are 9 and 6, so our 9-year-old's maybe getting there a little bit. 6-year-old, probably still too young to fully comprehend love. But I'll tell you what, that patient of mine, who was a teenager, he was definitely old enough to have that conversation. But from what I gathered in our talk, and that visit ended up being close to an hour, even though it was scheduled to be 20 minutes. In that time, it was very easy to understand that he had never been either one taught what love looked like, nor maybe shown what love was. And obviously that led to a lot of problems for him. And it made me sad. So obviously I'm going to be following up with him very closely. But I'm hopeful for him that he'll figure that out. I'm hopeful that the conversation we had at least started those thoughts about it. And you better believe I'm going to bring it up at the next time I see him. See what's changed on that. You know, I got a little sticky note in his chart. It's not a real sticky note, obviously, anymore. It's a sticky note in the computer, which they want to call a sticky note, but it's not a sticky note. But it's in there. So I'll remember. But honestly, that was a conversation you don't forget. And I'll tell you what, if you have that conversation with your kids, they won't forget it either. So make sure you do. But before you get there, you have to ask yourself, to me, what is love? What does love mean to me? And what do I want my kids to know what love is? And then talk to them about it. Find your ways to do it. You know, like I talked about today, I use a lot of my faith in how I feel about things sometimes. And when it comes to the topic of love, I use that. And it helps my boys, number one, understand me as a Christian, but also understand me as a dad and as a person and where I come from and what I believe. So do that with your kids and help them understand you better too. So I hope all that makes sense. Hopefully you don't think I rambled too much. If you think I did, you can send me an email. I'm at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. I'd appreciate your thoughts on it. I appreciate to hear what you think love is. How would you define love? How does it differ from what I said today? Or what questions do you have? I'd love to hear from you. So send me an email. Otherwise, I hope you all are staying healthy, staying safe, and remember, embrace those imperfections, and we'll see you next time.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.